to analyze in terms of what best works for the tollway. Once we have underwriters on board, and once we're able to review this more closely with our financial advisors, I can envision us coming back very soon, within the next couple of months, and saying, this is, if these markets don't change,
right,
and saying this is something we should do.
So back to the chair's earlier point about the Purchasing Act, the fact that it's taken us a while to get the underwriters in place has limited our capacity to move when we've got a market here that we view as attractive.
I think it has limited our ability to move. I think that you can see, I think by this you can see that it's only recently where this market has become.
Right, but it would be nice if when this gap closed, we had the underwriters, we could call them in and we could say, okay.
Yes, it would
right.
be.
I mean, the last time that this refunding was authorized, we authorized the refunding, we had a team selected. We were ready to go at any point.
It would be nice if we could, today when you're approving the $1 billion, if we could just have the team. And we didn't have to have everybody come back in at the beginning
right.
of January. So.
And this also then pertains to the extension of these liquidity agreements. If we were able to just move these synthetic rates out into the fixed rate, then we wouldn't have to go through the process of extending the liquidity agreements either.
That's right.
And how, under what conditions can the liquidity rates be terminated or converted or changed when we enter into these? If we're doing them for some period of time, we decide to move these synthetics into fixed rate, do we choose the ones that are going to come up? Do we have some provision in the liquidity agreements that we can convert? How does that work?
The factors that we would consider in terms of which series to refund would include not only the terms of the liquidity agreements, both in terms of when they come due, what the cost is of the liquidity agreement, the creditworthiness of the bank, but also the structure of the bonds that were issued underlying it. Some of the bonds have, for example, have insurance products attached to them, assured guarantee. Assured guarantee, I don't want to disparage any insurance company, but there's an additional party associated with that transaction that we may wish to reduce our exposure to them as well. So it's a combination of looking at what's supporting the existing series, how much the fees are for supporting that series, and quite frankly, how much it costs to terminate the swap with the counterparty.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it appears that the 2008 bonds are likely the most attractive, but I wouldn't say that with certainty.
So your second dot point on this slide 8.
On slide 8?
Yeah. Suggests the 98 series B, the 07A, and the 08A?
Now these are all the series.
Okay.
There's also sub-series of 2007.
I see. So you have to pick and choose among.
But I would say 98B is the least likely,
mm-hmm.
series 98B. 2008 series A bonds is probably the most likely, and then 2007.
Okay.
Well, Mike, one question. So is it safe to say that if the refinance or restructure of the synthetic bonds could not only flip them over to a fixed rate, but also extend their maturity? Or would we keep
We would keep maturity? The maturities the same, yeah.
Okay.
There would be tax issues we'd have to work through to extend the maturities, and because we're issuing so much in new debt.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
We were going to be trying to extend these maturities as well, but it doesn't look like we would that.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't need to because
okay.
we could wrap around the old bonds with the new bonds.
And do you have a limit in mind about how many of these you feel, what dollar amount of these you feel we can go into the market to convert at any one time?
I think the the authorization originally was 850, and I think there's about 500 million of that bond authorization left.
So that would cover basically the 08, right?
Actually, I think 570 million is left. The 08As are.
Looks like it's about
500. The 08As are 287.
You go back to slide 5?
Yeah.
Like
195. So, I'm sorry. The 08A1s, the JP Morgan supported are 287. And then there's an additional 191 with PNC. The refunding authorization we have is 570 that we would be asking to extend. I don't think we'll do all of the 08s because there will be termination fees that we have to pay to the counterparties.
Well,
but it's also possible to refund the partial series, or if it looks extremely attractive, to come back and ask for additional authorization.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. Sorry, I had so many questions.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. A lot to cover.
Any additional items?
Nothing.
From the director?
Nope, nothing okay. From me.
All right. I think we're going to keep you going here. We're going to go to finance. Mm-hmm. Item 1, approval of the employee health benefit programs of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois for 2013-2014 plan year.
And runs through February of 2014. The reason that we're bringing this item today is to open enrollment, which is scheduled for January, so employees would have an opportunity to decide whether they want to stay in their current PPO or HMO or switch their plans. In 2009, Boeing actually sought competitive quotes to an RFP process for administration of the PPO program, the self-insured PPO program, as well as an HMO benefits program. That, pursuant to that RFP, it was awarded to Blue Cross Blue Shield. That RFP provided for multiple renewals, I think up to 10 years, a total of 10 years. We have requested a renewal proposal from Blue Cross Blue Shield. They have provided that proposal. They're proposing a monthly claims administration fee increase of $2.57 per employee per month, which is about 3.3% on the PPO. They are offering premiums for the HMO program, which would increase 0.5%. For the HMO programs, we have two HMO programs, HMO Illinois and Blue Advantage. They have also indicated to us, remember we're self-insured, so the cost we pay is going to be dependent on the actual experience, but they have indicated to us that the trended cost increase for the PPO is around 12%, they believe, although we've done a little bit better than that, this year, but they're saying we should plan for a 12% increase in our MBO program. Overall, the cost of this portion of the program, Blue Cross Blue Shield, given those assumptions, would be around 7.5%. But when you include the Teamster Health Insurance Program, which we've locked in the rates for the next couple of years, the total overall cost of the employee health care program would increase about 5.2% in 2013, which is within the amount that we budgeted for 2013.
So the total increase in premiums at around 12%?
No, well, the HMO premiums would increase 0.5%. And the estimated cost increase, trended cost increase by Blue Cross Blue Shield, was 12% for the PPO. If our experience is better, our experience will be what our, you know, depending upon our employees. It's not a locked in agreement, but they're just saying that the healthcare cost trend increase to this group, they're trending at 12%. Again, so when you take the combination of assuming that the PPO cost being is 12% and the HMO 0.5% and the Teamsters are flat, that's the 5% increase that I want to do.
Which is remarkably low, it seems to me. I mean, I was at a board meeting of an organization which was projecting a 20% increase to next year.
This plan does continue. We do have a flexible spending program and FSA that we offer to our employees for care and dependent care. That program will continue at the same fee, administrative fee, by Payflex, is the provider, the vendor Blue Cross Blue Shield uses to administer that program.
The employees, is that, I think, so over 500 employees of the PPO?
Yes. Roughly split 50-50 between PPO and HMOs.
Any questions? Any questions? Okay, item two.
Item two is a renewal of the property insurance program with RSUI Indemnity Company and Chubb Insurance Company through Mesero Insurance Services. The property insurance policies for the tollway expire on February 28, 2013. These policies were initially procured through an RFP process in 2011. The program provides blanket insurance coverage for the tollway and coverage for the central administration facility, its contents, and related EDP equipment to a building insurance policy. The blanket insurance program provides replacement cost coverage for all the bridges, buildings, and facilities of the tollway, subject to a retention of $1 million for loss. This coverage does not include assets that are valued less than the deductible. It doesn't include sound walls and the road itself, because the losses exceeding $1 million are less likely for those facilities. The blanket insurance policy does include protection for loss of toll revenue by reason of damage to the tollway system. RSUI Indemnity is the proposed carrier. They're rated A by AM Best Company. The actual cost of the blanket insurance policy will go down about $9,000, a little over $9,000 in 2000. And the new policy primarily because, actually related to the reduction, a reduction in total insured value. A review of our program revealed that there were some facilities, some bridge decks and so forth that we were covering that were really required to be maintained by other bodies, and so they were able to remove those from the coverage and reduce the total insured value and the total cost of the policy.
Well, good for you for reviewing.
Right. Well, it wasn't us.
You made a three?
AECOM.
AECOM to review.
But we hire AECOM. We listen to them, so.
We can
we'll take all the credit.
We can take
all
the credit.
That makes a lot of sense.
So did they review the entire system or just portions of the system?
They reviewed
the entire system.
There's also an office it's also an office essential administration policy through the Chubb Insurance Group. They're rated Group Plus Plus by AM Best. They offer the policy at a premium of $55,805, which is about a $5,000 increase or 8.75% increase in the cost. That is due to a combination of both the increase in insured value as well as a rate increase. In total, I believe the cost increases about $4,000 for both policies. Finance Department recommends acceptance of the proposals from RSUI Indemnity and from the insurance group at premiums of $685,283 for the blanket program and $55,805 for the central administration program. These policies are secured through Mesero Financial Services. They do have a BEP partner insurers review that participates at the level of 20% of the brokerage fee for the blanket.
Any questions? Thanks, Mike. Item three.
Item three is authorization to issue up to $1 billion of revenue bonds, finance portion of the New Illinois program. The bonds will be authorized as fixed rate senior lien bonds. The resolution authorizing this will call for the standard call and redemption provisions. It would authorize the sale of the bonds to a group of underwriters, which will be approved at a future meeting. It will authorize the chair to execute an official statement that we can use in the bond offering. It will authorize a number of fully officials, including the chair, executive director, secretary of the board, the general counsel, chief of finance, chief engineer, to execute all of the various documents and certificates necessary to the issuance of the bonds, including agreements such as the continuing disclosure agreements, the arbitrage compliance agreement, the bond purchase agreement, and the indenture, all of the various necessary documents associated with the actual issue of the closing of the bond issue.
Any questions on
that? My question, no. By this authorization, does this start putting the team together that puts this together, or is the team already been selected? I'm a little confused there.
Yeah, typically we would like to bring the team at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, and we do have some recommendations for bond counsel, which I believe we'll be discussing in executive session, because those agreements have made it through the procurement process. We don't feel that enough of the agreements for the underwriters and financial advisors have made it through. We're hoping that in the next couple of weeks we'll have a larger number of the pool to choose from to assemble the team, and that would be what the special board meeting is for in January.
And in January, is that when we would actually see the makeup of the team?
Yes, that would be when we'd see it. You'd see it, and we discuss it and you know, talk about, as you recall, particularly the underwriters, our goal is to use all of them over the course of, you know, the bond issuance and the course of it. How long is the pool effective? 5 years?
The initial term is 3 years, but then we have renewals.
So our goal is also to have the minority participation in each of these parts of the team, whether it's bond counsel or the FAs?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And this is important from the standpoint of, well, we don't have the underwriters. We do have PFM as our general financial advisor, and I think David's requesting bond counsel. We can get started on kind of structure analysis of the transaction prior to that January board meeting.
I just want to let David know, possibly contrary to your private sector experience, we do not have a big fancy dinner where we close. We just execute the document.
Cheeseburgers, maybe.
No, nothing to eat.
Okay. Unless you pay yourself.
Actually, we tax you to buy a cheeseburger.
Okay.
Water.
Okay. Right, there's water provided.
Okay.
Keep them hydrated.
Pens.
Item number four, authorization of extensions of the standby bond purchase agreements.
This is an authorization to extend the standing bond purchase agreement for the series 2001 A1A bonds for $691.5 million and the series 2008 A2 bonds, which are $95.8 million with JP Morgan Chase, for a period of 4 months from the current expiration date of February 7th, 2013. Through June 7th of 2013 at the current fee structure plus related legal expenses not to exceed $5,000. As I covered a little bit earlier, changing cost structure has made JP Chase in this case reticent to, has indicated that to them that they should be seeking alternative types of liquidity products. They have actually discussed an alternative product with us called callable commercial paper. We're not in a position to have evaluated that product and to make sure that it meets all of the legal requirements that we have. So we need an extension for 4 months to do that. Review and, of course, continue to monitor the funding opportunities.
Any questions? Item four. Item five, extension of the authorization issue of $507 million of refunding revenue bonds to refund a portion of the authority's outstanding synthetic fixed rate bonds.
This is in January of 2010. The board did approve $850 million of refunding bonds to fund a portion of the synthetic fixed rate bonds into traditional fixed rate. The authority has targeted an all-in cost of 5 to 5.5%, inclusive of all of the costs, including the swap termination costs, as an acceptable target for the fixed rate bonds, an acceptable cost of reducing the risk associated with the fixed rate. We actually did do a series of $280 million at a cost of 5.1% previously. So the remaining authorization is about $570 million. We would like to extend that authorization for an additional year to continue that opportunity.
Any questions? Item six, approval of the 2013 final budget.
With respect to the final budget, we noted back in October, the tentative budget called for an operating budget of $283.4 million after adjusting for reclassifications of certain expenses that were previously paid out of the capital accounts. The base growth in that operating budget is 4%, which is consistent with our long-range financial plan. $316.6 million is set aside to accommodate our debt service needs associated with existing debt as well as the new bonds that will be issued this year. And then there's $386 million that's left to fund, is available to fund renewal, replacement, and improvement for essentially other capital costs. The final budget proposal is unchanged from the tentative budget. We did take public comment in November. There was one slight change in the rate that the state employees' retirement system had, which increased 0.2 or 0.3% for the second half of the year, which we believe we can accommodate within the existing budget proposal. So there were no changes relative to the tentative budget.
Well done. Any questions? Thank you, Mike. Do we want to take these items individually or want to take items on finance 1 through 6 together to move to the consent agenda? That being said, I'd like to move forward with the approval under finance of items 1 through 6. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion moves and passed and moves to the full consent agenda. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jeff, thank you. John, procurement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Procurement has 7 items for your consideration this morning. And Chair Peterson, if you're okay, I'd like to take the first 3 items as they're all orders against CMS master contracts.
Sure.
The first item is an order against a CMS master contract to purchase reflective sheeting. The Tollway Sign Shop uses reflecting sheeting to fabricate new or replacement signs that are used throughout the tollway system. The amount being requested will allow for the fabrication of approximately 800 signs through November 14th of 2013. Award of this request is recommended to 3M Company in an amount not to exceed $350,000. Second item is an order against a CMS master contract to purchase 76 full-size police pursuit vehicles, which will be utilized by District 15 State Police. All of these vehicles are replacement units. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Miles Chevrolet Incorporated, in a total amount not to exceed $2,021,407. The third item is an order against a CMS master contract to purchase 11 snowplow trucks. All 11 trucks are replacement units. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Prairie International Incorporated, in a total amount not to exceed $1,603,633.07.
We haven't had much of a winter in the last 2 years, so.
Yeah, otherwise that number for the plow trucks would be higher. Generally, we replace about 10% of our plow trucks a year. We have about 200 in our fleet, but since, you know, the last year and a half has been somewhat mild, that's why we're only replacing 11 of them.
What's the capacity of those trucks? I think, operating engine hours, the can.
The replacement criteria is approximately about 7,000 engine hours or a 15-year period.
So these trucks that we're going to replace are exceeding that currently?
They will exceed it when they're replaced.
Yeah, because it's a long lead time.
It's a long lead time. So these are not expected this year for this snow season?
Correct. This will be next year. We're anticipating to get them before next winter season.
And the state police vehicles also... the fleet that we have about 200 cars there also, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And is there a state, I think it was kind of the state statute or law, that says, like, is it 80,000 miles that we have to replace, or?
Our replacement criteria at the tollway is 100,000 miles or 5 years. The state, the rest of the state police vehicles are, I think the replacement criteria is 80,000 miles.
That's their target.
That's their target.
So, yeah.
That's set by state law or by statute.
They have that dollar per title transfer for that.
Tom's our fleet manager.
Is it by statute? Or
the dollar is the title transfer, there's a dollar,
right,
and that dollar goes into the fund. Statute doesn't say 80,000,
yeah,
but that was that it's their target is to use that money.
Their policy.
I sat through an entire higher education appropriation committee meeting 1 year where all we talked about with every university in the entire state was what their standard for recycling their vehicles was, whether it was 40,000 miles in X number of years. So if there had been a statute, it would have saved us.
Any questions on those 3 items? Okay. And 4?
Okay.
So if I could just say a few words here. This is one that has been a long time in the making. As you may recall, and certainly some of you who joined the board in the last year, you know, your predecessors would certainly recall, we discussed the concept of a sponsorship, a marketing sponsorship for our help truck program. We have, you know, I think about 13 trucks on our system that are help trucks that drive around and look for people who are, you know, have run out of gas or are stranded or otherwise, you know, have some kind of problems. And other states, other tollways, actually have sponsorship for that program where, you know, a private company can come and advertise on those trucks, and as a result, they underwrite some of the cost of the program. That program costs us about $2 million a year, but we assist about 33,000 customers, so it's definitely... you know, tremendously has a big impact on our drivers. So we've been attempting to have this sponsorship and get a sponsorship in place a couple of times because of the old Board of Election certificate requirements and some of those items which are have now been taken out, restrictions which have now been taken out of the procurement procurement code. We lost some opportunities over the last couple of years, but now I think we have in place what will be a good partnership for us, and you know, a good, some good strong financial support to help underwrite the cost of this program for us with a good partner. So I just wanted to say a few words and thank Wendy and John for your diligence, because I know that this was several times you and your teams were working on this. Went through a couple of attempts to get an RFP successfully through the process, but I think we've hopefully accomplished that now.
Yes, and like Christy said, this is not like our normal procurement that we present. This is one that's generating revenue for the tollway. The vendor that we're awarding here is Travelers Marketing Limited Liability Company. They will provide us a three-year sponsorship fee of $1.8 million over the 3 years. And then if we so choose to, there's also 3 one-year renewal options that will be available. And as Christy indicated, the HELP program does cost a total of about $2 million annually. And this sponsorship revenue will help offset some of those program operating costs that we incur. Travelers' partner for this initiative is State Farm Insurance. So their logo, State Farm's logo, will be placed on the tollway's approved assets. For example, the HELP trucks, the driver uniforms, and our website. In addition, all mentions of the HELP truck program will indicate the program is sponsored by State Farm Insurance.
So even the drivers will have uniforms.
Yes.
State Farm.
Correct.
But they'll still be recognizable. This is important to us as tollway uniforms, tollway trucks, so that we have consistency. So if, you know, 5 years from now or 3 years from now, there's another sponsor that comes in, our customers have gotten used to seeing a certain, you know, a certain look, and we don't have to worry about people being confused by that. So we've tried to maintain that consistency of the look with giving, you know, the right sponsorship opportunities to be appealing to the partner.
So have other jurisdictions who've done this, or will Travelers Marketing have some way of measuring the impact of the sponsorship? Are we a party to how they're going to figure out whether they're getting their money's worth, whatever? Or have they, say, not discussed that?
I'm not sure how we evaluate that impact, but what I can say is that we're working very closely with Travelers and State Farm to work on a sort of a joint approach to how to work with sponsorships that are really beneficial. They're going to be our partner moving forward in, you know, news releases and program announcements.
Thank you.
And I believe State Farm already partners with Travelers in other jurisdictions.
They have in states like Kansas, New York, New Jersey. I think about that, seven other states
I first became aware of this concept when I went to a Bridge, Tunnel, and Turnpike Association conference and heard about a similar partnership in Florida that they had to sponsor their equivalent of the Help Trunk program. So, but you know, clearly it's something that's been used around the country to some success and you know, deriving some revenue to support an important program for us.
State Farm for all 3 years, or?
Yes.
Okay, they, Travelers can't come in and change out. State Farm said they got a 3-year deal.
No, not without our approval.
No, okay, good. So.
And we did put some restrictions so that we would, you know, not run into any uncomfortable issues with the marketing partner who was left, so we did try to make sure we...
Right, at least they want to advertise Budweiser on our health trucks.
That's what we're making.
or any kind of alcoholic
Travelers
beverage.
Right.
Not to single anyone out.
Well, if I could just add, we're excited about State Farm.
Very.
Bloomington, the employees have been involved in folks here in the state of Illinois. We're really excited to have that on board.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is great. The reason I was asking about the evaluation is just the question of whether we can help them to understand by how we measure the impact for them, the importance of this, so that this contract is $1.8 million, but if we can somehow quantify that they're really getting a lot more out of this, not only might we get a higher bid from them, but there might be other people who are interested in doing it. It's not that I want to get rid of them, but it feels very amorphous, and I assume that they have some sense of what the value to them is, but I'd just be curious whether we can help them figure out how to measure it in a way that really makes it tangible and look as beneficial to them as it is.
Yeah, I think that's a great
Well, we'll look at it and we'll ask more questions about it. I mean, we certainly provided information about how many drivers, how many customers these are served, you know, the kind of the capacity of our system and how many people they would likely either impact directly with the help truck program or just generally people who are on the system who would see the help trucks driving around. But we'll make sure to maybe get a better handle on that, because you're right, there may be, you know, opportunities to either reinforce this number or, you know, see if there's, you know, some additional benefit that we can demonstrate to others or to them.
Yeah. I mean, my anecdotal evidence is a CEO from the North Shore who had a flat tire at 2 in the morning, and the help truck stopped and helped him, and I mean, I think he would give his firstborn child to the tollway at this point. So there's just, for certain people, there's an enormous value.
Yeah.
Sure. Item number 5.
The fifth item is a renewal of a tollway invitation for bid to purchase refurbishing services for aluminum sign blanks and extrusions. This renewal will allow the tollway to continue its refurbishing of these materials. The vendor utilizes an ultra-pressure high water jet system which removes the reflective sheeting that I present in item number 1 and restores the material to almost like new condition. This service is performed in an environmentally sound manner and no chemicals are used, just water. Award of this renewal is recommended to Advanced Water Jet Technologies, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $93,730.
So that's great story, too, environmentally, you know.
It is. No chemicals are used. And, you know, we, based on the quantities that we're going to be needing for next year, we are going to be saving about $90,000 by doing the refurbishing as opposed to buying the new material.
So recycling the material.
That's correct, yes.
Very good.
That's a good story. Sixth item is a renewal of a tollway invitation for bid to purchase scrap tire removal. The tollway's roadway maintenance department routinely collects and removes scrap tire and rubber debris off our system, as this material can be extremely dangerous to the motoring public if not removed promptly. When enough material is gathered at each maintenance location, it is then transferred to the hillside maintenance location, M2, where it is stored in a roll-off container that the vendor supplies until there's a sufficient load to request pickup by the vendor. Award of this renewal is recommended to Dispose All Waste Services, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $36,500. The seventh and final item is a renewal of a tollway request for proposal to purchase traffic and security monitoring and management system maintenance. This contract provides a source for planned maintenance, and on-call troubleshooting and technical support for the tollway's traffic and security monitoring and management systems. This system includes closed-circuit television cameras, microwave radar detectors, dynamic message signs, portable changeable message signs, and weigh-in-motion stations. Award of this renewal is recommended to Mead Electric Company, Incorporated, in an amount not to exceed $1 million. This is the third of three possible renewal options, and the tollway will soon commence a new competitive RFP process to continue these services.
There's over 500 cameras, is that correct?
Yeah.
Is that right?
5,000.
I mean 5,000.
Yeah.
Throughout the system?
There's about 1,000. A little over 1,000 for security and roadway.
And the BEP goal is being met, has been met.
Yeah, 30%. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. If there are no questions, any objections to take in under procurement items 1 through 7 together? Okay. Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve under procurement items 1 through 7?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes and moves to full consent agenda. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
Engineering. Unfortunately, Paul is not with us. He had a loss in the family.
That's correct.
As, right?
Correct.
Greg is here to help us through this.
Okay. Good morning. Engineering is presenting 5, a total of 14 items to the board this month. I'd like to state that 5 are unbundled construction contracts. I'd like to also state the 2 construction contracts were won because the bidder used ECP credits. Laura Construction Company became the first contractor to win a bid using ECP credits for 4 times. Aldridge Electric won their bid using earned credit program for the first time. In total, 7 bids have been won now using ECP credits. The first ones were back in 2007. Total of 21 construction contractors and subcontractors have worked with the tollway and hired and employed more than 100 ECP workers since around 2007. And to date, the ECP program has cost the tollway just under $357,000, which is the amount of the ECP credits that we used.
Thank you.
On to item number one. Item one is a construction contract award for tree removal. Work will include erosion and sediment control, temporary fencing, a stabilized construction entrance, and maintenance of traffic on the Tri-State Tollway. This contract is part of the I-294-I-57 interchange corridor. Homer Tree Service is a low bidder at $155,686, and they have committed to exceeding our DBE goal. This is the first time that Homer Tree Service has served as a prime contractor for the tollway.
We also did on this contract have success in that a DBE firm did bid on some of the unbundled contracts. Previously, we didn't have any DBE bidders, but here we did have one. They weren't successful this time, but you know, maybe have learned a little bit more about the tollway process, you know, for future opportunities.
Good.
Okay.
Proceed. Item number two.
Okay. Item two is also a construction contract award for tree removal. Work is very similar to item number one, and again, this contract is part of the I-294-I-57 interchange corridor. Homer Tree Service is a low bidder at $140,007.90, and they have committed to exceeding our DBE goal.
Good.
Okay, engineering would like to state that during the December 2011 board meeting, we entered into an intergovernmental agreement with the University of Illinois to conduct research to generate design and construction details for integral superstructures, and thereby reducing maintenance and operation costs of bridges and less disturbance to the motoring public. Funding was approved in the amount of $201,000 and allowed the tollway to partner with IDOT on a three-year research project. The bottom line here is that if we can reduce or eliminate the number of bridge expansion joints on our bridges, we can reduce maintenance and operation costs of those same bridges. One standard bridge joint replacement or reconstruction on a crossover bridge can cost the tollway around $75,000. On an expressway mainline bridge, it can be over $100,000. Such replacements are currently performed on more than a dozen tollway bridges each year, along with other superstructure maintenance work. These maintenance joints, maintenance on the joints must be performed every 5 to 10 years, and we typically need to replace them every 15 to 20 years. So today we are presenting some bridge construction contracts where this this new design will be utilized, and that will eliminate or reduce existing expansion joints on these bridges. So item three is a construction contract award for the reconstruction and widening of the Mosquito Creek bridges on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. Laura Construction Company is a low bidder at $3,292,156.98. And they have committed to meeting our DBE goal. This contract is the first of several mainline bridge reconstruction projects on I-90 from the Kishewaukee River east to the Fox River.
What's the differential between the projected budget and the actual award a function of the fact that we were unfamiliar with using this kind of construction before?
The difference really is that I believe because we have a very competitive market out there still. And this was the first of a number of bridge contracts that was going out on I-90.
Okay, so it wasn't that you were changing the technology, no. It was just the competition in the
just
market.
Just the competition,
okay,
in the marketplace.
So no expansion joints then in those bridges?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's usually what cuts the life of those bridges down?
Yes, it does.
Where? That's good, that's great advancements there in technology and the partnering with the university.
Yes.
Okay. Item four.
Okay, item four is a construction contract award for the installation of temporary lighting and advanced intelligent transportation systems, ITS equipment, along the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway between Mill Road and west of the Elgin Toll Plaza, a section of nearly 36 miles. Aldridge Electric is the low bidder at $2,771,126.97, and they have committed to meeting our DBE goals. Aldridge Electric is one of the four contractors who won their bid using the Earned Credit Program. This contract will set up lighting at the crossovers and other ITS equipment for monitoring the construction traffic for next year's I-90 work.
Any questions on that? Okay, item five.
Okay, item five is a construction contract award for replacement of the underpass lighting system on the Veterans Memorial Tollway under the Reagan Memorial Tollway. Meade is the low bidder at $2,749,160.96, and they have committed to meeting our DBE goal.
So this is for the Veterans Memorial, I-355, and we're replacing existing lighting system there?
Yes, yeah, the lighting on the underpass structures. It's the I-88 over 355.
Oh, I-88 over 355.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Item six.
Okay, item six is a construction contract award for the reconstruction and widening of the Coon Creek bridges on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. Laura Construction Company is the low bidder at $4,432,201.50, and they have committed to meeting our DBE goal.
Do they have the capacity? We're going to award them the other contract, and item number three. How's their capacity to handle the reconstruction and widening of these bridges?
Yeah, they,
based on the bridge work they're going to do on the Mosquito Creek Bridge, are we getting the B team on one and the A team on the other? Or?
Well, Laura does have IDOT's pre-qualification rating of super unlimited, so they do have the capacity to do the work.
IDOT calls it super unlimited?
Yes.
Same question I asked Christy yesterday.
Okay.
And their current volume on the tollway is around 37 million. So they should have the capacity to do this work.
So other than these two bridges, are they working on anything else right now?
They're finishing up the tri-level bridge. They're also finishing up a bridge on 147th Street on the tri-state.
Okay.
And then they also were the low bidder on item number eight.
Okay. Thank you.
Item number seven?
Yes.
Director Wisner, you can come join us if you'd like. Or not.
Okay. Okay. Item number seven is a construction contract award for the reconstruction and widening of the eastbound mainline pavement, reconstruction of the outside shoulder, and replacement of bridges carrying eastbound I-90 over the Union Pacific Railroad and Sleepy Hollow Road on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. Work includes construction of retaining walls, culvert installation, earth excavation, and grading and drainage improvements. This is the first contract, major pavement reconstruction contract on I-90. Bids were opened yesterday. Plody Construction is the low bidder at $32,409,437.38. Their DBE commitment is currently under review by Diversity.
Must be pretty competitive because it's coming in 10 million under what we had estimated.
Yes, we
very
had
competitive
seven,
market. That's
had
great.
Seven bids yesterday. They're very good bids.
Very competitive. Very good. Excellent.
And I think this one is a good sign for that work that we're going to be doing on the Jane Addams.
Yes, it's a very.
Right. We were
excellent.
Pretty happy
yeah.
to see.
This
it.
Is very. The, very happy people yesterday.
The amount of that's competition great that news. We had, mm-hmm. but also obviously the good prices that we're getting.
Excellent.
So five more roadway contracts will be bid in the coming months on I-90.
On I-90, okay.
Yes.
Item number eight.
The item eight is a construction contract award for the reconstruction and widening of the Kishewaukee River Bridge eastbound over the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. Laura Construction Company is a low bidder at $8,677,437.90, and they have committed to meeting our DBE goal.
With this bid, Laura Construction became the first contractor to win a bid using our earned credit program credits 4 times.
But we do debit the amount, so they don't
yes.
get to reuse credits
yes.
once they've used them, they're debited.
Yes, correct.
Okay, that's around 15, 16 million in new contracts for them. You said capacity again is between around 36 million, you said 37 million?
About 37 million.
37
no, that's not their capacity.
That's what they have currently.
Yeah, that's what they have currently. They have a super unlimited capacity.
Super limited, which is
according
like 400.
To, I, right.
About 300 million.
300 million, okay. But they're capped at us.
There's no cap. These are low bids. Mm-hmm. So, unless there's really a capacity issue, which here there's not, we take the low bidder. So, they have some work that they're finishing up for us. They've clearly been successful in getting some more. So, and then they have the capacity according to their pre-qualification to perform it.
Thank you.
Item number 9. Okay, item 9 is a professional service contract for construction management services associated with the reconstruction and widening of the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway from Genoa Road to Anthony Road, a section of 8.5 miles. This section includes 8 crossroad bridges and 1 interchange. Award is recommended to Globetrotters Engineering Corporation, a DMBE firm, in the amount of $8,742,408.73. Globetrotters has committed to exceeding our DB goal and has a mentor protege arrangement with SPAN Technology.
Okay. Item 10.
Okay. Item 10 is a professional service contract for construction management services associated with the reconstruction and widening of the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway between Anthony Road and Illinois Route 47, a section of 12 miles. This section includes 8 crossroad bridges and 1 interchange. Award is recommended to the joint venture of Harry O. Hefner Associates and a DVMBE firm, AES Services, in the amount of $13,672,404.41. HOH is exceeding the DV participation requirements and has entered into a mentor protege with AES.
Okay, item 11.
Item 11 is a contract renewal for consulting engineering services through December 31st, 2014, in the amount of $14,125,493.33 to AECOM Technical Services. This is a foundational contract that provides press indenture and technical services. AECOM is currently finishing their second year of a 3-year term. The contract has an initial 3-year term with 2 1-year renewal options for a total of 5 years. Based on the importance of this contract with respect to the tollway's ability to bond for the Move Illinois program, we recommend renewing this contract for 1 year through December 31st, 2014, which is a defined option as part of their original 3-year contract.
Thank you. Item 12.
Item 12 is an extra work order to authorize payment in the amount of $336,824.93 on contract 5627 to current contracting company to address slope stabilization. Additional services were necessary to stop continued deterioration of the slope, which threatens to affect the adjacent roadway appurtenances. This construction contract provides pavement repairs and other miscellaneous roadside improvements on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway.
So this is one that was a little outside our process, correct?
Yes.
Which we weren't terribly happy about, but we
correct.
Did receive the work. So this is one that the CM that was out there, current, there was the identification that this slope was failing,
correct?
But what would typically and should have typically happened is that they would bring that to the attention of the tollway. We would work it through our internal process, or if it was a true emergency, would at least send a notice out to everyone that we were going to have to add something and do some emergency work. That process step wasn't followed as closely as we would have liked.
By the CM.
By the CM and by the contracting company, but by the CM. So this is one that, you know, unfortunately we're bringing after the fact. The work has been performed. We've evaluated it, correct? We believe that the work was appropriate and the appropriate price. We don't believe we're overpaying, but, you know, ideally this is not the way they would have handled it, and we certainly have communicated that to them. And
yes, the chief engineer has met with both the CM and the contractor on this issue.
The CM has performed previously for us and has done a good job, I think, on those contracts, but this is definitely something that, you know, even in an emergency or a situation like this, we would want a different process followed, which correct. That's been communicated.
Correct.
So the change order is a 336 or almost 337,000, which means do I read this right? There's an $85,000 overage. Is that what that 84,829 means in the whole contract?
Yeah, this is part of that overage, yes. So that this extra work will put the contract over the original awarded amount.
By the $85,000?
Yes.
And can you explain what the continues under review about the diversity program detail is? Is it just that they haven't come to the end of the project, so we can't tell what their utilization is?
Correct.
Okay. Because they just went out and did this.
They did the work last, I believe it was last February, and the contract has not been closed out, so diversity has not been able to review what their
okay, thank you.
Their participation was.
Curran was the contractor, Baker was the CM?
Yes.
We verified that the work was done and completed, even though they went forward without approval?
Yes, it was verified the work was completed.
It was, okay.
Yes.
Item 13 and 14 are release of retainage?
Correct. Item 13 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $30,275.35 on contract 5613 with Herlihy Mid-Continent. This construction contract provided rehabilitation of three bridges on the Tri-State Tollway. The contract has been completed under budget, and the contractor does not meet its DB commitment due to revised traffic control staging that was assigned to a DB subcontractor. However, a waiver was approved.
So you're recommending
final release of retainage
of that amount, that 30,000?
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, on the DB, I know we want to get finished here, but you grant them a waiver because they made a good faith effort, and this was about marking and flagging. I'm sorry, Greg, this is not your job. Maybe I can just talk to Paul offline about this. But
what was the reason for the waiver? Maybe Gustavo can comment on it.
I believe that on this one, the waiver was granted based on the fact that the work performed by the prime. If you can give me a minute here, please.
I mean,
that's all right. We don't have to take time now. You can talk to me after the meeting. It just
okay. Well, if you have an answer, let's.
Yeah, okay. Revised staging significantly reduced the nighttime lane closures, amounting to approximately $42,000. The revision took place late in the construction stage. There are items that were eliminated that included the marking tape, temporary information signage, changeable message signage, supplemental MLT, and marking removal.
Which was part of the original TV plan.
So this gets back to something we talked about very early during my tenure here, which is the concern that some of the primes do the things within the contract for the DBEs that at the end sort of get lost in the shuffle. Maybe there are not other functions that DBEs are qualified to perform, but I find that hard to imagine. So it just feels to me as if we need to double down on the DBE functions that we're putting in these contracts. If there's a pattern that the things that are being allocated for DBE end up being things that we waive on at the end. I don't remember anything like this before. I remember landscaping and other things where it's sort of the cleanup at the end where somehow we just managed to lose that in the process. So I guess, Gustavo, I'm asking you to make sure as we go forward in developing our program that we have things that constitute the set-asides that are things that we know are essential to the project and are going to be...
Constitute the DB goals.
Yeah, in the goal, within the goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
So I think maybe, what if we do this, that next month we should, we've talked about kind of doing a report on how many waivers have been granted and giving some sense, because obviously, you know, we do need to have a process for waivers. Things do happen. But, you know, if we're starting to see a trend or we're seeing, you know, so maybe next month's meeting we can prepare, you know, a presentation so that we can talk that through so that everybody can kind of see, you know, what to the extent that there's a trend or if you're seeing how many, you know, of these are coming in lower. I haven't necessarily noticed that too many of them do, but I think it'd be worthwhile to go through the exercise of doing the report.
I agree, because we have two today. I think next one's a waiver also.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah.
But we know when the executive director suggests we have a report that it's going to be okay. I hope.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, you know, if we've really identified a pattern more than just the happenstance that there are two that happen to be happen to be on today,
yeah.
You know, we should, you know, watch it very closely. We obviously all take it very seriously.
Item 14 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $199,025.55 on contract 9056 with John Burns Construction. This construction contract provided a storage building at the Elstip Maintenance Facility M1. This building is a new style that can store over 9,000 tons of salt as well as material and equipment. This contract has been completed under budget and the contractor is close to meeting its DB commitment. A waiver was approved.
Okay. Any questions regarding any items under engineering?
I got just on two items. Going back to item number 7 with the award to Plody Construction for $32
million. Mm-hmm.
We're asking to move this to the consent agenda, yet we don't haven't determined whether they've met the DBE goal yet because it says it's all pending.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we move that over if we don't know for sure if they've met the DBE goal?
It's my understanding that our goal is to have that by tomorrow.
By tomorrow, we would
meaning
have the
we just opened it Tuesday, so
yeah,
just opened yesterday.
Yeah. So, is it acceptable that we could act, and then if tomorrow we still don't have it, it you know could be postponed maybe for that special January meeting? Is that an acceptable way of handling it?
Yeah, just want to. Want to make sure that there was a DBE goal, but yet it hasn't even been determined yet. We're asking to move it over.
Mm-hmm.
If it's we can get the information tomorrow, and I think I would and that goes the same with item number 8. That I see the same thing that we don't have the breakup with Laura for $8 million. We have that the goal has been met, but yet there is the detail.
So the goal was 15, they committed 15.2.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the second page.
I'm looking for the diversity, the detail of the ethnic group.
Of what the ethnic breakout is. Do we